up. It won't happen again. God is good. Holy Spirit is good, right? Amen. Hey, just since we're still in that anointing of the announcement, let me add a little more. How many of you have signed up for next week for the meal, for the fundraising for the meal? Come on, Bobby, put your hands up. Bobby, say yes.
Okay, John, yeah.
Yes, okay, good. Right, so, okay. Steve Long was talking about Jim Gall. Jim Gall is a seer. He's a prophet. How many have heard Jim? Right? So I was in a meeting with a few people with Jim Gall, and there was Reinhard Bonnke sitting at the table. And suddenly, Jim Gall started to see something in the spirit and start to prophesy over Reinhard. And it happened that I have my camera with me. I was the only, so I took my, it was already on, so I just pressed record. So I was able to record this prophetic word being released on Reinhard Bonnke. How many have seen some videos on Reinhard Bonnke before? Amazing, right? Thousands and thousands of people. For a season in 1988, I was with Reinhard Bonnke Ministry. And the Lord transitioned me in London, England for a while. And so Jim Gall was telling Reinhard that God is going to transition you into having crusade. And he's got to start to hit the stadium in the United States and give him the sign when it's going to happen. And I was able to record this. And those who have Facebook, I know I'm not talking to the right generation, but some of you does. And you can watch it. It's on my Facebook. If you go in the video section, that's the only video that is recorded on for that moment. Now, in August, Reinhard is going to speak in Chicago for the first time. In the biggest arena, Allstate Arena, where we can put 100,000 plus people. And I'm was now I'm, my mind is like, hey, there was this prophetic word that was released, and now he started doing it. And the amazing thing is he's now working with Revival Alliance, which is like TACF and Bill Johnson Church and IHOP. They're going to have, Bill Johnson is going to be there. They're going to invite Jesus Culture is going to be there. So once a year, how many of you remember when we have this youth rally in Washington, D.C.? They call it the call. There was, you know, like, what, almost like a million people show up. So, and this one in Chicago, Reinhard Bonnke is going to be there. It's going to be in August. Bill Johnson is going to be there. Jesus Culture is going to be there. And then there's a man called Branning. I kind of don't even know him before. 2 years ago, we were in Chicago. We stopped in Chicago. We were going to IHOP. And when we were in Chicago, the Lord spoke to me very loud and clear about what's happened in the city of Chicago. And he was giving me a lot of direction what to do in the next 2 years. And came back to Toronto. I was ministering on a Friday night at the airport. And forgot exactly what happened. Some people came forward, I don't know how many, and start praying for people. And I remember I was prophesying over this man about study the Chicago awakening, the revival, the rebuilding of the Chicago, everything. And this man, his name is Branning, without even knowing his name, nothing. And he ran out. He's the one who's behind the Chicago awakening 2011. And the Lord spoke to him about this. And the Lord has told him that that with this move of what's going to happen in Chicago, they're going to have an importation for 18,000. That's a promise that God's given to them. 18,000 young people to carry revival around the world. Can you get it? But now, they are going to have over 100,000 kids going to be there. But the promise is 18,000. And when I look back, I said, God, you sent me to Chicago 2 years ago. You make me prophesy over this man, and now he's running with his vision and getting all this rain hot bonky, and I record this video of prophetic word. What are you trying to say? And the Lord said, send the youth. Send your youth to Chicago. How many of you want to see your young people having revival? Amen. I'm excited about this. You know, I was talking to Jose earlier. I said, Jose, you know what? And we were talking about buildings, and you know, we want to move into building, this kind of thing. I said, Jose, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're not worried about it. You know, we trust God. I truly believe, I say, you know, one day somebody's going to walk in and say, Pastor, this is the key of the building. It's yours. Take it. Do church. We don't need to do all this kind of thing. Just believe in God, do mighty things like this. And I believe in favor. And I believe there's so many Muslims coming to Jesus, there will be a time when the mosque is going to be empty. And we're going to go say, you know what, there's a building there. All the Muslim is Christian now, so why don't you turn into a church? It's yours. I'm believing it's like the favor of God's coming so strong that you go to a place, you go into a dealership, and the guy say, you know what? I've been so blessed by your ministry because I see healing, I see powerful of move of God, and you know what? Just go and pick up whatever you want. And as you do that, the Lord bless this business to increase, and there's a favor. How many of you experience revival? How many want to step more into that? You see, revival is not gone. It's just whatever God is doing, that's what we need to keep going with him. You know? I remember when the Holy Spirit visited the church, for the first 2 years after that visitation, we got 10,000 people got saved in 2 years. And if God visit this place, if 10,000 people got saved, I mean, where are we going to put them? So God is going to provide. And so we just trust God because it's not our work, it's his work. And if you're doing God's work, you don't have to worry. Because how many of you know that Jesus never had a lack in his ministry? He never missed anything. Hey, you know, there's a crowd there. They are hungry and they've been following you for 2 days. They haven't eaten. Well, go and feed them. But God, how are we going to feed them? We have nothing. How are we going to buy this food? Like, there's no baker right now who can bake, you know? Just grab these 2 fish and 5 loaves. And here you go. There's no lack. And if we can live in that supernatural realm of God, there's no lack in your life. There's no lack in our life. There's no lack in the church. And that's what I'm believing God for. Right? But the thing is, everything, God wants us to be faithful. If we are faithful in the small thing, God will give us greater things. So we don't have to freak out what's going around us. Right? And those people who know how to live this way, the Bible says, those who knew their God, they do great and mighty things. God wants you to do great and mighty things. He wants the church to do great and mighty things. You know, he called the church, we are the manifold wisdom of God. And sometimes when I look around and say, where's the wisdom? Not to try to point any finger, right? But it's true sometimes. God, we are the manifold wisdom of God. I'm going to talk a little bit about this one as well. And out of the revival in Toronto, a lot of many things happened. Brownsville revival happened, and during the revival in Brownsville, they got over 100,000 people got saved in that move of God. I'm excited when I see this kind of thing. That's the thing that I can live for every day of my life. I don't know about you. I can worship God every day like this. There's nothing that can stop the move of God. Some of you, I don't know, but I always think, like, God, what is happening around now in the Muslim nation? How many of you try to think about this? What's going on? Not just one, not two. I mean, it's all over. There's not one nation that is immune to what's happening right now. Well, I know that God has a plan for these people. But we guys, there are things in our life that if we keep pressing in, we don't want God to pass by and not visit us. And so we need to know what God is doing out there, but we need to know also what God is doing here in our midst. Right? What God is doing in this nation and what God is doing here can be different. But we want to know what he's doing. I remember years ago when I was training people about mission and training them about evangelism. This is basically my heartbeat is to evangelize. For 7 years, I was going on the street 3-4 times a day. And I can tell you, there's a lot of story in ministering with people. Even the Jehovah's Witness want to walk behind me, and they're giving their track. I thought, people say, are you with Jehovah? I say, no, I'm not with them. But they follow me, you know. I talk to people about Jesus, they're giving their track. And guess what? I started to get tired of that. And a couple of weeks later, we lead them to the Lord. Now they're giving the right thing, you know. How many had somebody knock on your door and give you the watchtower thing? I had them coming and they don't come anymore, you know. Because we know the truth, we are set free. This kind of thing. And when I was training evangelism, I said, this is one thing that I say is like, if you're looking at what some of the Muslim leaders are doing right now, they're thinking they're doing it for the nation, they're doing it for their country, they're doing it for their religion, they're doing it because they have authority to do it. And it's almost the same what happened about 2,000 years ago when Paul were going around and persecute the church. He's been given authority, he's been released to do it, and he's going around and he's thinking he's doing the right thing. And my prayer is this. God, if you have changed Saul into Paul by showing yourself to him, by revealing yourself to him, God, I believe it is fair for us, it is fair for me to pray that you will visit also this Muslim leader. And there's no place we can hide. There's no place that Osama can hide. God knows where he is. And this is what we've been praying for. God, you reveal yourself. How many know the story on the road of when the Lord appeared and said, Saul, why you persecute me? Who are you? I'm the Lord. And this is exactly what's been happening a lot in the Muslim world. Well, Castle Fire Ministry is going to do a big outreach in Turkey around the end of the year. Right? And I don't know if you know, but the biggest Muslim church today is in Egypt. They had over 1 million Muslims in this one church. But the thing is, because of persecution, they cannot do church, build big building, big gathering. But they have different websites that hosting their church meeting. And every week, by the 300,000-400,000 people are hitting their website, watching the service every week. And this number is growing, it's growing, it's growing, especially what's happening right now. That's a good thing. Okay. I have 40 minutes for my message. All right. This is the announcement. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for allowing us, Father, to gather here in this place. Thank you, Father, for investing in our life, for imparting your anointing into our hearts, into our lives. Thank you for the transformation you want to bring in our lives. Thank you for the purpose that you have for each one of us. Thank you, for Father, for the faith that you want to give each one of us, God. Things that you want us to be able to go and change this world for you, for your glory, for your name. Father, we pray, Father, as we speak about this message this morning, that you will open our eyes and open our hearts, Father, to see what you see. And if you pass by, we don't want to miss your visitation, God. We want to know what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe there's going to come a time when there's going to be such amazing, amazing favor is going to come into the church. And church means you guys. Not the building paints and bricks and mortar and stone. It's talking about people. I believe that God is going to open a floodgate of favor to the church that you and I we're going to encounter. Right? And it's not just because of what we know and what we've done. It's because of who God is. And keep praying that God say he's our greatest encourager. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So my prayer is, God, if you are the greatest encourager, you know, how many of you have watched the Raptor play games before? How many of you remember this guy who stand at the thing and he was the greatest fan? You know what I'm talking about. This guy with the cheek kind of, his turbine, and he's the one who's like screaming and jumping all the time. And this guy's making commercial today for the Raptors. Right? It's crazy. It's like, and when I think about this, I mean, if you are the one of his basketball player for the kingdom of heaven, and guess what? Who's the greatest encourager? It's God. He's the one who's cheering louder and doing all this crazy thing just to, for you. It doesn't matter if you win or you lose the game. He'll always be faithful. And I look at, God is my greatest fan in this life. And this is what I'm doing. Do you understand that? Do you know God is the greatest admire of what you're doing for the kingdom of God? And every time you do something, he's like, yeah, he's encouraging you. He's cheering for you, right? Hallelujah. Okay, let's get in the word, John. I'm talking to myself here. Okay, this morning I want to talk about a little bit about how to work deliverance in our lives. You can pray for people for deliverance. It's a good thing. God wants us to be set free. How many know that? In Egypt, I was watching one lady. She said, freedom. We want freedom. We want freedom. And this is a good word. And I believe freedom is a Bible word, is a scriptural word. It's a word that God wants to give us, to every single one, for freedom. I'm going to talk about something about how you can minister freedom to someone, but most important, how you minister freedom to yourself. You can cast out demon, but sometimes the demon in us cannot want to go out. We're struggling with it. Let's be real, okay? So we're not looking at neighbors. We're looking at deep here. So this month's like soul winning. Win the battle of our soul first, okay? Now, I just want to give a brief overview and how the enemy and demonic spirit work, but we're not going to focus too much on him, but just to give you an understanding that sometimes we open doors for this demonic spirit to work, right? And I want you to know that Satan is your number one enemy. He is the greatest enemy along with his demonic spirit. John 10:10 says that the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. Never build up. Kill, steal, and destroy. And the interesting thing is this. And say, don't give him a foothold. I don't have to ask this question, but if you one day you find someone who's robbing or stealing inside your house, what do you do? You say, hey, come on, sit down. Let's have a beer together. Let's eat some chicken wings and watch a movie. Are you going to do that? And sometimes we do this kind of thing. We just have a pity party with that spirit, their demonic spirit. And there we go, let's have a beer. And then your mind goes along and you let this happen. You meditate on his words. Right? We don't want that. And this enemy will rob you of your hopes, your dreams. He don't want you to be successful. He wants to destroy every plans, not just the plan of God, but basically everything in your life. Relationship, joy, your peace, your fulfillment, your money, your marriage, your children, anything that you can have in your life, he wants to take it away. How many remember the story of the seventh son of Sceva who tried to cast out a demon? How many know that story? You know what the Bible say? How did they run? They ran how? This demonic said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but you, who are you? And then what happened? They ran naked. That's how he destroyed people. Now, if you walk on Yonge Street one day, you see people running naked. If they've been beat up by the demon spirit, they try to cast out demon. And God said, I don't know you. And, you know, they basically don't have a relationship with God. And if this is what he does, he wants to strip everyone naked. Satan, that's what he wants. And sometimes we allow this to happen. We let him rob everything. Our joy, our strength, our emotion. Now talking about joy, I'm telling you this. Joy is a good thing. I try to love every time I can. And sometimes people get offended. Well, this is what I say. Life's too short. If you want to put a moody face all the time, that's your problem. That's your issues. I'm here to have a party. I'm here to enjoy life. God wants us to have joy. Can I tell you a little story? I was watching YouTube two nights ago. Middle of the night, Alexander was fully asleep. And I was really laughing at watching one little video. There was this guy. He's down on the floor and he has his t-shirt. And he's ironing his t-shirt on the ground, on the floor. Right? And then he put his iron back there up. And his cell phone was next to his phone. And he's turning his t-shirt to iron the other side. As he turned his t-shirt, the phone ring. And instead of picking up his phone, he picked up the iron, he put it like this. He said, hello. Well, no, he didn't say hello. He really, ouch. And he dropped his iron and he burned his side of his face. And the phone keep ringing. And you know, this is something that is not made by Oscar actors and award winner Grammy, you know what I'm saying? It's just a real thing. And just watching this, you just laugh, right? And I was having so much love watching this. Now, some people say, but you're mean, this guy's hurting. It's not like, you know, I didn't make this happen. I'm just, and he put himself on he put this on YouTube, right? And when he went and picked up the phone, and when I think he found out who's the person who called him, he was more upset and more mad, and so he threw the phone, you know, and that make you laugh more, right? Because even that phone call is not even important for him, right? So, and I watched this like several times. And I can tell you, I sleep better that night. It's good to laugh sometimes. Now, I don't know, but we guys, we laugh at different things. And ladies, you guys laugh at different things, right? So what do you ladies laugh when you two get together? What are the things that you do? You have a good laugh together.
What? What do you do? You watch what? Wipe out? I love Lucy. You watch that? She's great. You know, there's a lot of great things there just to laugh. So it's good to relax. It's good to laugh sometime. It's good, like, you know. And this is the thing, guys. Sometimes we are under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. And we need to laugh. And sometimes people get upset because you laugh. Well, just too bad. Because you know what? It helped me to release the thing from my brain. I was talking to a pastor on Thursday night. I said, I joke around. And some of you, who, you know, I like to joke around, right? Sometimes my joke doesn't seem good, but to me, it's a good joke. I joke around a lot. And he said, but sometimes I don't do that thing. I said, you have to. You have to laugh. You have to decompress yourself. And guess what? The very next day, his blood pressure went so high, 193, he went in the hospital. And he was sitting for almost a half day, not even able to get a bed. So I told him, why don't you laugh in the hospital? What stopped you? You laugh. You know, when the Holy Spirit came over you in the book of Acts, the people say, they are drunk. They are what? I mean, have you watched a drunk person? Right? They're filled with wine. But this is the Holy Spirit. And if you get upset when somebody's full of the Holy Spirit, well, just too bad. That's who he is. And if you want to go to heaven one day, you're going to be dragged with the Holy Spirit. You like it or not. Are you going to be offended all the days for eternity in heaven? Well, just too bad. Deal with it. You know? So we want to have a time where we can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, come. Let us laugh again. Let us drink again. The enemy don't want you to laugh. At any cost. At any cost, he don't want you to laugh. You have an argument with your wife and you laugh. And your wife says, why are you laughing now? It doesn't matter. Okay, let me give you a little story. But it's good. It doesn't matter, okay? We might as well tell it. One day I was driving the car with Alexander. We're driving in on Blue Street. And Alex and I, we went to a little argument. Not argument, like disagreement. And I turn around and I say, Alex, she speaks better Chinese than I do. I said to her, I will listen to you. I will agree with you if you speak Chinese to me. And my goodness, she tried everything she knows to speak Chinese to explain her what she thinks is right. And only two words come out. And I start to laugh. That argument turned into a good moment. And I laugh, and she laughs, and she laughs. And then she told me, what about you telling me, speak to me in Chinese? Well, I'm an African. And I only know two or three things. So I told her, I say, if I tell you in Chinese, are you going to do it? She said, if you tell me in Chinese, I'm going to do it. So I saw a big sign, billboard, and I said in Chinese, read this for me in Chinese. She cannot read it. And I was laughing at her. She was laughing at me. Sometimes this is what joy does. It changes the atmosphere around you. And if everyone understands that, you don't get offended. Because God wants to change things around us. Right? Now, don't go and tell your wife to speak Pakistani or Hindi or whatever, right? So, well, maybe you should. Okay. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter gives us a warning here. He said, be
be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowl around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The first thing that, you know what a roaring lion does? Why would a lion roar before he attack? Fear. When the enemy, when the prowl that just fear grip, you can't move, you shake. This is what he does. He wants you to be fearful of the things to come or the things that's going to hit your house. And the moment that fear grip you, guess what? You're going to do and speak all the negative things, all the things that he wants you to say, because you're listening to his voice. And some of you have been listening to his voice this week. Oh, what about this? What about that? Stop. He's just roaring lion. He has no teeth. Jesus has defeated him. Right? And the moment you become a believer, the moment you become a Christian, you are on his list. Your name is there. Right? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, to stay in a state of forgiveness so that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his scheme. He has a scheme. He has a plan. He has a way that he does things. We are not unaware of how he works. Let me give you another translation. In the New King James, it says, so that Satan do not take advantage of you. How many of you have somebody take advantage of you? We all have, right? You don't like it. You don't want that. I don't want it either. How many of you done such a good job, and at the end somebody say to the boss, you know, I'm the one who did this job. I'm the one who had this idea. I'm the one who make this happen. And the boss said, hey, good, I'm going to promote you. Somebody take advantage, right? You work hard. You run your house well. And somebody come around and just take advantage. You don't want that. This is what the scriptures say. But Satan wants to take advantage of you. Everything that you do, he can say to God, I'm the one who did it. See? I told them to do these things. Sometimes he wants you to do the good thing and he wants to take the credit. Hello? How? Because sometimes we have an orphan heart. We have an orphan spirit. When we do things, and then when we cry out, we don't like whatever, we have a spirit of jealousy. We have bitterness. We have unforgiveness. And he used that advantage for him. He is a legalistic. He do things in a way that make you think or will make you think that you are in your own rights and somebody has trespassed against you and he want to make you upset and angry and hurt and all this kind of thing. That's how he works. How many of you have been upset because you were at fault? How many of you more upset when you're at right? That's what he does. He say to you, you are right, they are wrong. Well, Lord, it's not me, it's a woman you gave me in the garden. It's all happened all the time. The woman saying, not me, serpent. And the serpent look around. Oh, you know what? I don't know. The giraffe blame it on the elephant, whatever. The blame is going on and on. And every time you know you're right, they're wrong. That's when he take advantage. Let me say this again. Every time you think you're right, others is wrong, that's when he take advantage. That's how he works. Hey, you know what? I do everything that I can. There's not much, no more I can do. That's it. I'm right. Really? Guess what? You open door, You give him a foothold. You give him advantage. You don't want that. Okay. You felt like somebody has trespassed you. And what the Bible say? Lord, forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive what? Well, I was right. You know, this one, God said, forgive. Forgive, forgive. Oh, but you know what? It happened again, and it happened again. It happened 4 or 5 times a day. Somebody did something wrong to you. You find a parking spot. Somebody took your parking spot. I was here first. I'm going to punch your tire if you don't give me that spot. You better go now. I was right. And all this kind of thing. So, and every time when you do something good and when you're in this place, guess what? He's taking advantage. He's taking control. He's taking ground. He's very legalistic in his ways. What you say and what I say, all this kind of thing, that's how he works. You take an offense, you get hurt. There's an ungodly lies. You don't feel worthy. You know what? This relationship is going nowhere. I'm getting tired of it. Right now, I think there's no hope. That is it. That's again. He's taking advantage. That's how he works. Okay. Let me give you a definition right now about the word being demonized. Now, a lot of things like, we are believers, we are not being demonized. Well, sometimes we listen to your voice. We listen to the word that people say. Well, it looked to me it's not good. Let me give you the meaning here. In the Greek word, it means, okay, let me try to get it right first time. Demonizomai. Can I say, well? Demonizomai. That's what in the Greek word. And someone say, you're demonic right now. You're in demon possessed. You're demonizomai, which means you have been demon influenced. That's what it means. Your influence come from Satan, come from the devil. It's being speaking to you and make you think this way. And now your thoughts become his fault become your thoughts. Your feeling become his feeling. His feeling become your feeling. Next thing you know, your covenant is with him, not with God. You're not washing the blood. You're washing the lies and the deception. That's a correct translation. And he wants to take ownership. And in Ephesians 4, verse 27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. It said, do not give place to the devil. I don't know why some people, they call their team. Is that there's a hockey team called the devil? I don't know what they call it. They don't cheer for it. I don't like that. And the foothold here has been topos. You know, in other words, you cannot close the door. If somebody put a foot at your door right now, you can't close the door. You can't lock the door. You're not secure. You're not safe. A lot of time, our mind, we cannot close the door from the enemy. All we have to do is close the door. Because, and we can't do this. We talk about it. And all the anger, all the frustration come out and all this kind of thing. And then you say, okay, let's switch mood. Let's change. Let's go and do something else. And then the next day, something happened. You talk about it again. And then you say, you know what? I'm too tired of these things. Let's do something else. Let's go out. Let's watch a movie. After the movie is over, sit down. Guess what? You talk about it again. Guess what happened? The devil has his foot at your door. You can't close the door. And it keeps coming. That's what it say. Do not give the devil a topos. If you let him put his foot in your door, he's going to give you the foot. That's my translation, by the way. He's going to kick you. Somebody probably understand you've been get kicked by the devil. Because your life has happened, okay? Okay, let me go to the verse before that. Verse 26 says, verse 27 said, do not give him a foothold. But the verse before this, he said, be angry, but do not sin. Oh, how many of you have been angry before? We all have. Since the day you were born as a little baby, you were angry, you know? The doctor smacked your bum and you cry and you get angry, right? From 5 seconds, right? No. Okay, yes. What am I saying here? Yeah, we do get angry. But how can you get angry without sin? How can you get angry without opening the door, without allowing the enemy to put a foot, without him taking advantage of you? That's what he say. Do not let the sun go down. In other words, what happened on that day, stay in this day. Don't come back to the next day. Next day is the next day. What happened on Friday, stay in Friday. Don't go on Saturday. That's what he say. If you bring it on Saturday, guess what? You open the door. And verse 29 says this. Okay, let me go with 7. Verse 27, do not give him a foothold. Verse 29 says, do not let corrupt talks or word come out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, impart grace to hear. So when you're angry, you don't sin, right? And you don't give the devil a foothold. And then 29 say, but in your talk, things that come out of your mouth now, that's what you need to watch. Let no corrupt talk, a word, come out of your mouth. Okay? God wants us to have a lot more with what we have right now. I want you to understand that. So, this morning, we're going to do a couple of things this morning. I'm going to put a couple of PowerPoint projectors. So you're going to stand up. You're going to start praying. Now, before I do this, I want to say this is not going to be the only solution for your situation. It's going to just to help you. It's just going to be illustrate. It's going to be able something that show you that there's something that you can do about it, and you're going to start doing something about it. You're not going just to let it go. You're not just going to say, I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I can. No, you haven't done everything you can. There's still things that you haven't done yet. Okay? Okay. We're not here to go and do a hunting of the demonic things, but we are here to be aware that they are, they exist. We are running after God. So this is what we're going to do. If you submit to God and you resist the devil, he will flee. But if you don't resist, if you don't submit to God and you try to resist the devil, you run out naked. You don't want that. We don't want anybody to run in Ajax naked. Not good. Especially it's cold outside. There's no leaves, all dry up. Okay. It's good to laugh. All right? Anybody have problem laughing? No, we don't know. This is why we believe that inner healing and deliverance go hand in hand. Let me say this. Inner healing, everybody say inner healing, and deliverance go hand in hand. You want to get deliverance, but you don't look at inner healing, it doesn't work. Deliverance and inner healing go hand in hand. You cannot separate these two. You want to be set free, you have to look at inner healing as well. Otherwise, what happened on Monday is going to happen on Tuesday. And Tuesday is going, and it multiply and multiply. How many of you had an argument with someone and that person go back years? Have a whole calendar to bring it to you. Let me see. 2001. This is what happened on my birthday. You forgot about my birthday. I always kind of think so. Forget that. Done is gone, you know. So we don't want to be, God visit us, we're not aware of this. Okay? Okay. Some of the structure that he built his house, the demonic house is built on certain foundation. I want to reveal, because sometimes you see the roof, you see the doors, but you have to know the foundation. The foundation that he built on is, one of them is generational sin. It's a sin of the forefathers from second, third, and fourth, right, generation. And it's a sin that is keep committing, keep happening throughout generation. What happened to grandpa? What happened to great-great-grandfather? It's keep coming. It's still there. It's a generational sin. That's how he built it, right? Now, unforgiveness. And forgiveness, especially towards those you think to, I'm right. Jesus could have said, I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. You're destroying me. You're kidding me. You don't know who I am. You're going to go to hell. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive him. Because they don't know what they do. A lot of time, people don't know what they do. Every time when there's an argument, people don't know what they do. And you think you're the only one who knows what's happening. That's also is the enemy taking advantage. Right? Judgment and inner vow. A godly judgment. Every time when you felt somebody trespass, you're right, they're wrong. And you immediately, what you do is there's a judgment that comes out of your mouth. The word always and never, that's a two word you need to be careful to watch. Always. You do that always, all the time. That's one thing you don't want to bring in your marriage. Never. Say never. You don't want that. So watch these two words. And godly belief. A lot of us, our belief is because of what happened, because of our experience. Your experience can be your biggest enemy. I told you that last time. You have to be careful. What you experience, do not become your guideline. God is your guideline. The Word of God is your guideline. Not what you experienced 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's not what you want to live upon. Right? Okay. Okay. Oh, we already put it on? Okay, maybe I have one of the lights down, maybe the white one. Ferdinand, can you do that for me, please? Okay, we got about 10 minutes to do this. We'll be okay. All right. What I'm going to ask... what I'm going to ask is maybe one or two of you want to come up here and to pray the things we're going to pray. This is going to be some prayer as well. You want to help? Okay. Why don't you just come and grab the mic? And there's a couple of things we want to do as well. And how many right now that as you're listening to what I'm saying, you realize there's something that God wants to restore in your life. You realize you've been trapped somehow. There's something that happened, and you've been tricked. And the enemy tried to kill, destroy, and steal things of you, and suddenly you're getting a little bit more lights shining right now. Maybe not a full beam light, but some light's coming, you know? Right. Let me say this. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Let me say this again. Acts 10, 38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed by the devil. Like it or not, the enemy, doesn't matter how strong you are, he wants to come against you. Now, don't think about being oppressed is you're something wrong with you. The reason he come against you because you are a threat for him. You are the enemy to him. Right? Okay? And he want to come and do healing. So I want you to think about the same thing. If Jesus want to do healing, he want to do healing right now as well. Okay? That's one of the reasons we I don't know how things work, but God is a mighty way making things working. You're not, I will be very honest with you. You will not get 100% answer what happened today. But you will get a lot. Something happened to this morning. It's a good start. It's a good thing. Things that, it's a habit that you've been doing in your life, that thing's going to be broken. That's why next week, Dr. Grant Millen, if you have listened to him, you will want to listen to him again. He's a medical doctor who literally have now teaching other doctors about demon oppression. And he prayed for his patient. And he saw God set people free in his clinic, in his office. And he said, you go to medical school, they don't teach you that thing because they don't know. And he has talked to several other doctors, and they all have similar experience with people, and they don't know what to do. And now he find out what the Bible says, and now he's operating in a different level, in a different ways of looking at people, not just medical side. He's looking at the spiritual side, emotionally, and in soulish realm. What's the difference between stress and depression? How many know that? Well, he will explain to you what the difference is. That's why it's on Friday and the whole Saturday, it's make available for you to go. Even if you think, oh, I'm fine, I'm good right now, I encourage you to go. I'll be there. Right? Okay? So it's really going to be a good thing. So we can understand more in this realm. And unfortunately, some of the, not all the church understand these things as well. Right, so we're going to pray for freedom from demonic assignment. Every assignment that the demonic has against you, and I want you to start thinking, we're going to have communion today, by the way. We don't want to do this without having communion. Okay, so if you have to leave, have communion in the back before you leave. Understand that? It's very important. Okay? Pray with someone before you have communion. So we want to start breaking all this assignment on what upon which he built on. And you know the Bible talk about build your house on the rock. So that when things come, it won't collapse. It will stand strong. All right? So we want to find out. Okay. Not working? Supposed to work. Okay. We're going to pray this together. Al's going to help us to pray this together. So we're all going to pray this prayer together, okay? All right, let's do this, Al.
Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood, which cleanses me from all sin. I want to live for you. I come to you as my deliverer.
Why don't you come in and do this for me?
You know my strength and my weakness. Things that bind me, torment me, defile me, and any unclean or evil spirit. I claim the promise of your word. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be delivered. I now confess all of my sins, known and unknown. I repent of them and ask you to forgive me. I renounce them all. As I forgive others, you will forgive me the same way. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood covenant. I repent of any way I have given place to the enemy. I call upon you now, Lord Jesus. Deliver me and set me free. I renounce Satan and all his demons. I loose myself from any demonic influence of...
and you need to fill in this blank, right? So we're just going to give you about 10 seconds. Just I want you, some of you already know what, maybe you have more than five. I just fill in there.
And I command all of Satan's demons to leave me and my family now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, we have more. Okay, next one.
I confess and bring to the light of the demonic assignment of...
Okay, let's just take another moment for you to think about this. Any assignment that you know right now, that you're going through right now, if it's time about losing a job, it's time about marriage, breakdown, anything that you know right now, you want to bring this to light. Okay.
And forgive myself and all those who may have influenced me to sin in this area.
Okay, I want you to take a moment right now. All those who influenced you or have done something towards that, causing that influence in your life right now, I want you to forgive right now as you can. By the grace of God, just release that person, that moment, that situation, whoever that person is. God tells us to forgive so that he can forgive us. Okay, let's go.
In the name of Jesus, I repent for giving place to any and all demons associated with the assignment of...
If it's depression, stress, hopelessness, that just fill in the blank.
And I renounce and break agreement with this assignment and all its associated demons of...
It's lies, if it's generational sin that associate with, if it's hurt, anything that associate these things to something else, poverty, lack, ungodly judgment, unfaithfulness, sexual sin, any addiction, I want you to put in there. And I want you to say this. I renounce and break agreement with this assignment. I want you to mention this. Amen. Okay.
I confess, renounce, and forgive myself and all those who may have influenced me to sin in this area. I take authority over the assignment of... And I command all demons involved in this assignment to leave me now in the name of Jesus and based on the finished work of Christ on the cross.
I would like to, go back. But take authority of the assignment. Basically, it's come to these three things: kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? Kill, steal, and destroy. Right? Next one. Sorry.
Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and fill the areas of my life where any demon has been present. In my mind, speech, and action, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to clean and seal these areas of my life, to help me be sensitive to you so that I do not open any door that has been closed today.
Okay. We're going to read quickly a couple of scriptures, okay? Next one. Okay.
Deuteronomy 33. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. 2 Samuel 9:7. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. I'll restore your leaders as in days of old, your rulers as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
That's prayers can be also for the nation in the Muslim nation right now, okay? Next one.
Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I'll restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you'll be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets.
Next one. Okay. I put this there. This is 2 Corinthians 5:10. Basically, this is what it says, to examine yourself, whether you're in faith. It's about the testing of God. And to discover that you have not failed the test. Basically, what we read also from Ephesians 4, it's about also that do not be unaware of the scheme of the enemy. And then he says this, for now we pray that God will not do anything wrong, that you will not do anything wrong, not so that the people will see that you have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though you may seem you have failed. We have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. What is Paul saying here? He says some people think that we have failed. The leadership has failed somehow. But say, no, we haven't. We've been going through a testing season, a testing time. Do you understand that? And he said, some of you think that seeing that we have failed. And verse 8, it says, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. What people think, just to give you the scenario, some people think the leadership has failed, but he say, no, we become weak so that you can become strong. That you may be fully restored. You have to understand, this is the season. What happened in Egypt is a different story. What happened here is a different story. Right? And this is why I write you these things when I am absent, but when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not to tearing you down. Some people think, be listening to the enemy, think, oh, you know what? We've been tearing down right now. We've been coming, you know. No, this is not. This is a bunch of lies. We want to build you up. And sometimes we go through a testing season, okay? You have another one? Next one? Okay. We're going to do this. We're all going to stand for this one. We're going to pray. Can we all stand? Okay.
Lord, I pray that you would heal and restore any areas these demons may have caused. I place my faith and trust in your redemptive power and in your love and your grace. I love you, Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.
Amen. All right. Amen. Let's pray. Can you hold hands with the person next to you? Let these scriptures here for a moment. Father, we want to pray, Father, that as Paul was saying, Corinthians, that we've been tested. There was a season of testing. And something that we have failed, we have not. and we check ourselves, we know, Father, that we have stood with the truth. We have pressed in, Father God. And Father, the enemy sometimes use things to make people feel weak, to make people feel like they've been trespassed against, that their legal rights been removed. It has not, God. These are just lies of the enemy. Father, we pray this morning that we can rejoice, that we can see a full restoration, we can encourage one another, and we can be of one mind, that we can live in peace and the love of God. And Father, above all, Father, as we have communion this morning, Father, let the peace of God that surpass all understanding and wash away everything that the enemy tried to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Some of you want to have a little bit more prayer. We want to be able to pray for you as well. So if you want to see more prayer, just come forward. But those of you, don't leave this place. We're having communion together. Just go in a group of two or three at the back, or maybe four, and someone in the group can lead into prayer. All right? Bless you and have a good week. Yes, Josie.